This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
You're listening to Nick Snacks on KFKA, hosted by Nick Kenny and Alyssa Sanchez.
Hello, you're listening to Nick Snacks on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA here in the Aloe Fibers Studios. Is it fiber or fibers?
It's fiber.
Fiber.
And technically today it would be Aloe Business. Fiber.
Aloe-ish
stuff.
All right. Well, I've got Rob Steinberg here in studio, accompanied by Ben Barnhart, Executive Director of the Greeley Philharmonic.
Hello.
Alyssa's other boss. I'm more of her boss than I am with this, so... She's been replaced. No, I'm just kidding.
Does a great job for us as she does on this show.
She is just a very well-rounded and capable individual.
She is.
This is 2 weeks we missed her. She's training for an additional job that she has that we'll learn about when she's back on the show. But this is 2 weeks without Alyssa, and I feel off.
Yeah, she's not really replaceable. I listen to the podcast. I'm the one that does. And quite frankly, I do it because I enjoy her portions of the conversation, really. Otherwise, I would just pick up the phone and call you and be bored.
Yeah, I guess that's thanks, Rob. Glad to have you on the show.
He's a dear friend.
I'm a close friend.
He's Rob.
I'm Rob.
He is Rob.
Thank you for having me on today.
I'm glad you guys are on. Thanks for doing this. Actually, all of us are going to go hit some golf balls for, I think, our first official round of golf this season.
Half a round,
nine holes.
Yeah, and that's probably a good place to start, although I was looking at our tee time and when the wind picks up today. So we have our work cut out for us for four. Yes.
Yeah. As if it's not hard enough. We get the wind, too?
At least we're not doing the back nine with it being windy. Remember that time last year? It sounded like a tornado.
Yes.
And I'm sure Rob's extra prepared today.
I am extra prepared today.
For the wind.
Yes, for the wind. good times.
Memories. It took 2 minutes for you to bring that up, Nick.
Well, that's what she said. Oh, it's not even – come on, Nick. You're just making yourself look like an idiot.
Nick, Michael Scott, people.
Yeah. Micah is actually busy today, so I'm kind of running everything. I don't have any of the sound, so you won't get the bad joke alert. So does that mean I really can really go full depth into bad joke alert?
I listen to the podcast enough to where I can fill it in for him if he needs it to happen.
That's fair. And I got to make sure I look at this so we know when we're when is a good time to stop. The day we're recording, we've got moved to Saturday mornings, which isn't a bad thing. Helps with recording a little bit, but also I feel like KFKA is working on a big deal, and I think they got it with the broadcasting of the Rockies or something like that.
Actually, they announced it yesterday. I believe that they are now part of the Altitude Sports Radio Network, if I recall correctly.
They are taking over in a good way. They now have the Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avs, and – oh, yeah, we have a baseball team too.
And the Rockies. Not just the mountain range that looms over to the west. It's the plague of a baseball team that has – less winning seasons than – I don't know. I don't have any good jokes.
Opening
right
day today, the recording day is opening day.
Yeah. I do enjoy a good baseball game. Oh, well, okay. I enjoy going to baseball games. I don't know what quantifies a good baseball game. Some home runs.
I'm boycotting Major League Baseball at the moment. I don't really agree with the rules changes. I don't think you need to add a clock to a game that doesn't require clocks. I don't like the – ghost runner, like when we were kids on second base and extra innings.
I think they got rid of that one.
Oh, did they finally get rid of it? Okay, because like I said, I'm not paying attention.
It only lasted a bit. And
now my Major League Baseball team is uprooting the Philadelphia, Kansas City, Oakland, Sacramento, Las Vegas A's are now going to be moving to a minor league ballpark that houses 14,000 people.
But haven't they only averaged like 6,000 people the last 5 years anyway?
That's the irony of it all, is that they could probably just stay in Sacramento and be more successful. Mm-hmm.
I heard that was the largest boycott of I won't say the largest boycott, but on real opening day, Oakland fans bought out tickets or at least parking spots and refused to go into the stadium.
The irony of that is that to pay for parking, half of that parking, because the Oakland A's own half of that complex, half of the parking revenue went to the Oakland A's. So I'm in a group, a side chat with some friends from Northern California, where I'm originally from, and we sit around and we actually make fun of those people, because literally it was costing them $40 to park that day because of a dual event, a concert going on inside the arena where the Warriors used to play before they moved across the bay into San Francisco. So $20 of every single one of those cars that was quote unquote, air quote, boycotting the Oakland A's went to the Oakland A's.
Wow.
Moving expenses.
Yeah. There you go.
Somebody's got to pay for the van.
Good
line.
Joke alert. Good yeah. joke alert.
But yeah, we don't have one of those, usually because I'm the one talking. Well done, Ben. So when's this move going to happen? Is that next season?
Starting in 2024, the actual, I believe, lease with the Oakland Coliseum expires at the end of this season. So 2025. My apologies. At the end of the 2024 season.
So this time next year they'll be
in Sacramento.
In Vegas.
No, this time next year they'll be in Sacramento until 2028, when the new stadium opens in Vegas.
Ah.
And they'll just go by the Athletics. They will be no like Sacramento or Oakland or Las Vegas.
Are they still doing Moneyball?
Yes. No, you'd have to spend money. Well, I guess technically, I don't know. Their payroll is lower than like the combination of like the top two players for the Yankees, if that makes sense. Does that make sense? So like the two players on the Yankees that are making the most money, the entire A's payroll makes less than them.
I think the Dodgers should be the example, though.
They've been dodging it for years, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yankees
what
don't
dodging.
Win.
Well, yeah.
I'm a Yankees guy.
Well, the Dodgers have won more recently than the Yankees.
For sure.
Yeah, and they've been winning a lot more recently than the Yankees, from what I have seen. I don't think the Yankees have made the playoffs in like 6 or 7 years
or something. Yeah, I think you're about right. I think they made a wild card spot and then got bumped, but no, they haven't been to a World Series in like 20-some years.
Is Aaron Judge still on that team? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. He's there the man.
Yeah.
But I'm bored of sports talk already.
I am too, actually. We're talking about baseball.
This is why we have. I have a thing for you, Nick. You didn't see the big fight on the hockey teams? I think it was the Devils and the Rangers, and they had that as soon as the game started. The whole lines dropped their gloves, all the men on the, and they all just started fighting simultaneously.
No.
It was like 2 days ago.
Where have I been?
You ever been involved in that?
It's like the Battle Royale in the WWE.
It was completely planned from previous games and animosity that had built up. And so as soon as they dropped the puck, no one went for the puck. Everyone dropped their gloves, and it was just a mass brawl.
Wow. Goalies included?
The game. I don't know. I should have thought about you. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, because that's always exciting, is if the goalies are fighting, then you know it's serious.
Yeah.
I have to check out that the video of that.
That would actually be a great way to start our round of golf today.
We might end it that way.
We might. I think our buddy Brett is joining us, and you never know what's going to happen there. So,
well, I just
Mr. Michigan fan.
Yeah. Mr. Michigan. No,
for all we know, he's out
that.
Scouting us ahead of time illegally before we play our round of golf today.
He's probably practicing.
He is.
He probably needs more practice than any of us, so.
Probably
we'll
not
see.
Me.
Yeah,
he's gonna come down and clean the floor with us today, I'm sure. No, I haven't seen that, and it's getting to be playoff time or close to that run. So you don't see that bench clearing type of fighting.
I've never seen it to start the game, but I don't watch as much hockey as many people.
I had seen that once at the Eagles when they were playing a team, and it was the start of a playoffs, and there was chirping happening all throughout warm ups. Well, both teams ended up coming out on the blue lines, their respective blue lines. And dropped the gloves and just went for it right at the start. And in the North American Hockey League with the Grit, you cannot have practice without a referee on the ice. Even those warm-ups, there always has to be a ref on the ice. Otherwise, no team can be on the ice Otherwise, you get penalized and likely fined.
Wow.
But my grip boys, we were talking at dinner the other night, and I've got a goalie, Pete, and everyone's been encouraging him. Like, so Pete, is this the weekend? It's the last weekend. It's an away game. Are you going to drop the gloves? And he just smiles, and he's like, maybe, maybe. Very rare for a goalie to fight, but I'm going to be watching that closely to see if Pistol Pete drops his gloves and skates out. But it's a five, three
to
five game.
2 minutes left in the final game of the season. Just do it, Pete. No, come on, Pete.
It is a suspension into next season, and I don't think a lot of teams are going to be very happy taking him.
It's not like they're paying him. Is he the first string or the second string goalie?
You still get fined, and there's no strings here.
Okay. Wait, the kids get fined?
The teams will get fined.
Oh, the team gets fined.
Sometimes the kids.
Okay. Well, that'd be – wow, really? So you can get fined in a sport where you don't get paid?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Got to keep it safe. There's a lot of rules.
Hey, Pete, I will start a GoFundMe for you, buddy. Just do it.
You amateurs.
As a matter of fact, I don't know how much the fine is, but I might just take that on to see you do it.
All right. You heard it here.
There you go, Pete. We're all rooting for you. Well, folks, stay tuned for more Nick Snacks. We're going to talk to Ben Barnhart with the Greeley Philharmonic, give an update on Charlotte the Stingray, and then whatever else we decide to have conversation about. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to Nick Snacks. I almost screwed this up. I pressed spacebar instead of F8. But Micah came back to save the day.
I will say that this might be the only time, so people mark it like we marked the show here in the studio. Thank you, Micah.
Marked. F8. See? Oh, he's going to take that snippet. Oh, I've got Rob Steinberg with Allo Business Network Fiber Optics Opportunities. And Ben Barnhart, the executive director of the Greeley Philharmonic. Ben, you're wrapping up your first full season with the orchestra and some exciting things coming up this month and next. So what's happening in the orchestral world here in Greeley?
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it. I also noticed how your voice got so excited when you announced me. When you announced Rob, it wasn't quite as excited. But at any rate, here we go.
Just wait till the golf course later on.
We have two wonderful performances to round out our season. The first one is April 27th. That's our combined choirs. We're the UNC combined choir, and so it's always a side-by-side, as you know, and a wonderful community event. We're calling that Romance, Revenge, and Revelry, and it's songs from opera. We've got one more after that, May 18th, Sounds of Cinema, which is kind of a one that we're going to continue to bring back because it's very popular. But we're also really excited to announce the return of the Greeley Philharmonic Youth Orchestra, which will have its first full ensemble concert on stage in almost 50 years on April 13th at 2 p.m. at the First Congregational Church. But we need to thank Allo, actually. It's great that Rob is here because Allo Fiber is a huge supporter of not just the community, but also the Greeley Philharmonic Orchestra and its youth orchestra and those initiatives. So we're just pleased to be pulling all this stuff together and, you know, just raising the awareness of what we can do in our community.
And, you know, I have to say that one of the reasons why I joined the Allo team in the first place, and I've told so many people this over the last 3.5-4 months that I've been with Allo, that's a big reason why I wanted to join this team is because guys like Ryan Roth, who do a lot of our marketing and PR, Tom Ginn, who is my boss but also part of the Allo business sales team, you know, we're always out in the community. They're always out in the community. I noticed that a lot, and it's something that I wanted to get back into. One of the reasons that I started working back in Greeley again and not commuting to Boulder every day was because I wanted to be more involved in the community. I never felt like I really got that opportunity, and now I kind of feel like I need a nap. over the last four months or so. And it's been just nonstop just how many things we support. And I wanted to add to that too is that the upcoming show, if any of the listeners out there want to reach out to Nick or to KFKA, I have a pair of tickets for – actually, I believe I have four tickets for the upcoming event. I'm going to be out of town that weekend, so I would love to give those away. So feel free to reach out, and I would love to contribute those, especially if you've never been before. I recommend. It is just such a great experience. The seats that I have are always up close, like up front. Great area to sit, and it's really quite the event. I'm not going to lie. You get to see who's who of Greeley out there, and it's just everybody's friendly and in a great mood, and they do serve alcohol, so.
Well, and classical music will normally put you in a great mood, kind of a reflective mood, but normally give you some space to think and breathe just a little bit, and I think that's what drew me to classical music, and it's a good evening on the town, if you will. Just make an event of it.
I think folks kind of forget, and you know, you're in a surround sound auditorium, and it's a civic center downtown, or you know, in UNC's state of the art performance hall as well. Greeley's got a lot of hidden gems like that that really aren't hidden. You just kind of have to look inwards toward what you have either in your community or nearby, and you don't have to go to Denver for incredible hockey experience. We have that at the Colorado Grit and in their arena with the orchestra. You don't have to go to Denver to experience an incredible orchestra of surround sound. You have that in Greeley, Colorado, where there's a lot less traffic. There's incredible dining opportunities and at an affordable price. And Greeley is just one of those remarkable communities that does have it all. And I was listening the other day to one of my Alexas, just sitting around listening to music. And I was in a mood, so just listening to the Dark Knight trilogy soundtrack from Hans Zimmer. I mean, it's just epic, very bassy. And it wasn't on my – I use surround sound that I got at Costco that was pretty costly. It was just on my Amazon Alexa, and it just sounds so tinny and anemic. But once you have an 85-piece orchestra and you're just sitting there and the sound is just bouncing everywhere off the walls, off the soundboards, everything. I say soundboards like the things on the ceiling and whatnot. Like you don't get that much anymore. People are just so accustomed to their car stereos, their Alexas, my little Wi-Fi Bluetooth TIE fighter that I have in my office, which looks really cool, but the speaker is just puny. So if you haven't experienced a live concert like that, I mean, you're just not listening to music, whatever type of music that is, the right way.
Sounds like you need to invest in a Bose because that'll fill the room.
No, this is not helping Ben's case with the orchestra. They need live experience.
Yeah. There's nothing like live music, whether it's rock music. It doesn't really matter as much the type, but there's no substitute for live music.
No, there really isn't.
Especially that, and I'm not – I was never a concert goer that liked – the loud bumping music or whatever, because that to me is artificial. You're manipulating the sound by what you're doing on the soundboard, by adding bass, adding reverb, whatever, all the stuff that you can do to augment a sound. When you go to a live orchestral concert or a choral concert, that's not augmented. There, if you do see speakers up there, it's to gather the sound for a recording. And that's pure, and that's the balance. You get any musician out there at a band, and their sound guy has a stroke and can't perform or do his job. I promise you, those modern musicians would struggle to adapt at finding that balance.
For me, it's always I'm always in awe of some of these musicians. I don't know if you guys know this as much, but I took 16 years of piano lessons growing up as a kid and played a lot of classical and music and all that. And I just watched – and I could never quite get to that level. I reached kind of like a peak of my abilities, not being able to practice 24/7 like a lot of these musicians do. So when I see them out there and they are – just doing what they do, like, with their hands and their emotions put into every single note. And like, you can feel it. And I think that's why I like to go, is because, it kind of brings back that nostalgia for me of like being able to sit there at the piano and play what I was capable of playing and put some feeling into it. And then I hear other musicians doing the same thing. And, you know, and it's especially with no lyrics. And it's weird because when I listen to music, whether it's rock and roll, whether it's classical, I tend to drown out the lyrics and listen more to the individual instruments. My wife always makes fun of me because I don't know lyrics to songs and I'll just make them up as we go along. But she makes fun of me for other reasons too, Nick, before you're able to get that one in. Mm. But it's just such a cool experience to sit there and listen to these people that have dedicated their lives to just putting everything they have into this. And you can sit there and watch each musician individually from the audience and kind of see just the way, you know, sometimes you'll see one and they're like sitting in their chair bouncing with a huge smile on their face. And then there'll be another musician and you could tell maybe they're a little bit older or been around longer and they've just got their eyes closed and every note is just like flowing through their body. It's just the coolest experience that you're not going to get just from listening on like a radio or anything.
Yeah,
like
you're going to feel that emotion when you're in the auditorium and we're watching them and hearing them. And for me, if you are someone that can appreciate excellence in any form, whether it's sports or art or music or all of the above, then you can go in there with an open mind and really appreciate it for what it is and go, okay, I could go ahead and do that again another time. You know, that wasn't maybe as bad as I had thought, but it really will open up your eyes. The people that we have on that stage, that we put on that stage, have put in tens of thousands of hours to get where they're at, and they play all over. They play in Denver and Boulder and Fort Collins and Cheyenne. So it's certainly our city orchestra. Many of them are from Greeley, but it's also kind of an all-star team of all your front range musicians. These are the best of the best. These are pros.
It's the oldest orchestra. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the oldest Philharmonic Orchestra west of the Mississippi. Is that correct?
It's the third oldest. Someone gave me a phone call on that and asked me to correct that. And I said, sure, I'd be happy to do that. Okay. And so I believe it was St. Louis and Seattle that were first. But look at the size of our municipality.
Compared to them.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just light years of difference. So we're using the, you know, first orchestra in the Rocky Mountain region.
Let's change it to the most awesomest west of the
Well, that's true. Yes. Yeah.
Well, too, we always used oldest continually operated. And I, you know, I was just something that we inherited. But what about like the Montucky beer slogan, which is the unofficial official beer of Montana? How's that for branding? You are the unofficial official orchestra of Colorado,
of America,
of
the world,
of Earth, of the Milky Way galaxy. You know, I mean, I love that bold branding from Montucky. It's not a great beer. It's a fantastic pre-hockey game beer. But the unofficial official beer of Montucky.
And I encourage you, hit me up. Hit us up. Hit up KFKA. Hit up Nick about those free tickets too. Because I will say this is that I have given tickets away to a lot of different people. And I know at least two or three of them that use those tickets. It was the first time they'd ever been to a show. Our friend Jessica ended up buying season tickets. I think it's now she's on her second season. After I gave her a pair of free tickets, she actually went and decided that she was going to be a season ticket holder for the Philharmonic. That's how much she enjoyed it. That's how much it touched her. So
I know you're a great salesman for Allo, but you're using the F word too much. It's free. You gave her an opportunity to experience.
I did. But what I'm saying is that she took what I gave her and she invested. And so that to me is the important takeaway from that, Nick. But thank you for
– Rob wants to give you the experience and an opportunity for a life-changing, altering experience.
Absolutely.
That won't cost you a dime.
That's right. Just like my trivia nights, you only get one free beer and after that you have to pay for them all.
Is that – like as you as the host or just –
Yeah, that's right. I do host trivia here Sunday nights, Tavern of St. Michael Square, 8 to 10 p.m. every Sunday.
Way too late for a Sunday night. My kids are in bed. All right, stay tuned. We'll be back with more Nick Snacks after this break.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place. After you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Welcome back to Nick Snacks here with Rob Steinberg and Ben Barnhart. I know we have other shenanigans to discuss, and it's not really been shenanigans, just mostly the banter that takes place anytime we're together. It doesn't have to be on the golf course. It could be at Rotary. It could
this
be
is
at
much cleaner than normal, though.
Yeah, it is. I think we're on better behavior too because Mike is not here to chastise us or to.
Do you have an update on the Virgin Mary bat ray?
I did, the stingray. Charlotte, as of 3 days ago, which would be April 2nd, no birth. And the gestation period for Charlotte the Stingray, and for those who are first-time listeners, Charlotte has become famous and has drawn a lot of attention to the small town in North Carolina. I don't think it's Charlotte, but I think it's somewhere in North Carolina. It could be Charlotte. But she's been in captivity with sharks for 8 years. Well, she's pregnant now, so there is discussion of, is this the Immaculate Conception in stingrays? Well, they do know that stingrays can hold on to sperm for up to a year to impregnate themselves, but that can't make sense because she's been in captivity with sharks for 8 years. So then they suspected we're going to have a shark ray baby. Nope, that's not it either. Stingrays
Bummer.
Are – I know. How cool. I mean we had Sharknado. Imagine Shark Ray Nado as a movie
so
sensation.
Hold on.
It cloned itself. Charlotte cloned herself, so her embryo – it's probably like menopause where you're just kind of like eggs are going out of business type of sale, you know, and I hope I don't come across insensitive like that. But the eggs are coming out. But to sustain her, you know, species, and I guess at least in her genetic makeup, they split and she cloned herself, which is not uncommon for animals like this. But this is the first time they're seeing this in captivity.
So she – cloned herself, so she didn't do what I've been telling you to do to yourself for like the entirety of our friendship.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
that's actually
she did that
cool.
successfully. Yeah,
pretty impressive.
I know. And humans have just gotten to the moon. I mean, we really haven't.
Was she in a lab with working with vials and little test tubes and with goggles on?
I think
maybe
she's gonna come out with legs and like it's gonna be like Manta. The is that a DC or a Marvel character? I can't remember.
Manta Ray. No, but I think that my favorite line from Jurassic Park, Ben, is life
finds a way.
Why do you have to take things from me, Rob?
Because that's what I do in life.
Jeez.
I look forward to it.
Where's
every
your mic?
Single
How
day.
How can I turn this down? Are you four?
Here,
are you
I can
three?
Mute it for you if you'd like.
No, we'd still pick up yours.
Besides, your Jeff Goldblum like impersonation is terrible. So
fine. Do you want me to take my shirt off and lay sideways on the table for the rest of the show?
Actually.
No.
Ben has spoken. Ben, you said something in the last segment, which I want to continue the discussion on was, we were talking about the orchestra, but also an appreciation for excellence. And I think you're absolutely right, not only with the orchestra and what we have in Greeley, but, you know, there becomes a certain point, I think, in a lot of our lives where why do people go to Greece to see the ancient ruins of ancient Greece? Well, it's because of the incredible architecture. I mean, they perfected architecture back then. I mean, heck, the Parthenon is like a freestanding dome that's still around. Like that – is just incredible after thousands of years. And that's architectural excellence. And people go all around the world for that. If you're a sports fan and not a fair weather sports fan, like, all right, oh, I like this team, whether it's baseball or football or hockey, I've come to the point now with hockey of I don't care who's in the Stanley Cup finals. I'm watching those games because you are seeing the best players and the best teams competing for one of the greatest trophies. If you're in New York City, you're going to Broadway. Why? Because of the excellent performances that are happening there. And it comes down and can trickle down to regions like this where you can find excellence anywhere, at restaurants, with your internet network, like with Allo Fiber, with the Greeley Philharmonic, even with the Colorado Grit. Maybe it's not been a winning season, but you're seeing excellence develop mm-hmm. and be created and fostered and growing and I think once you kind of slow down and start to appreciate that, you just enjoy things more. For me, it's movie directors. I will go out of my way to watch something I otherwise wouldn't have watched based on who the director is or who the actor or actress is if they've become excellent.
It's just so rare anymore, isn't it, to have something that's excellent. Everything is so broad, right? But we've lost some depth. We've lost some, people that are going to be excellent in what they do. And so I think you just appreciate it a lot more the longer you live.
The lack of attention span too these mm-hmm. days. I mean, it's so hard to keep people's attention for anything. And it's for me, it drives me insane. I mean, whether it's like with my kids and, you know, if he's on his – like my middle child, he's always on his phone scrolling through something, whatever. And sometimes I just have to make him, okay, leave your phone here. We're going somewhere. And he's like, well, I need to take my phone. But no, you don't. Like, you leave it here. I'm the adult in the room. You don't even have a job.
Well,
so, you know, well, okay, I'm the oldest in the room. How's that?
Yeah. You
know,
in this room.
But again, you know, it's like the same thing. I mean, you know, Aloe Fiber, the Philharmonic, you know, even watching my money grow with Nick investing it for me. I mean, that's excellence right there. So
I do my best.
Yeah, you are.
There is a Simon Sinek podcast I was listening to the other day, and I know I've mentioned him a few times before on this podcast, but this one was talking to this guy who had studied just behaviors with cell phones, and it was fascinating. And the statistics he has, and you two are both parents, and I'm curious your thoughts on this. And I'm a kind of a parent. I'm a foster slash.
You're like one of those people
student.
That has a dog, and you're like, oh, it's the same thing.
No, they're not dogs. They are human beings. I'm gonna tell him you said
sorry,
that.
Sorry, Pete.
Yeah, now he's gonna fight you, Rob. This is what's gonna happen. So anyway, statistically, you know, he says there are more parents now who don't know how to get their kids disconnected from their phones, and they're worried about it, one, because of all the negative connotations and the social atmosphere and social media connected with cell phones, but also they're just so disconnected from the world and each other and as families. So a couple of examples. One, Simon Sinek talked about a family that he had known who they were going on a family vacation, and everyone left their cell phones behind except one, and that was the family phone to use for emergencies and calls. And the first 2 days were absolute hell for them. I mean, people the kids weren't happy. No one, they're mad at each other. They didn't have their friends to connect with. But then you look at the end of the vacation, and they said they had one of the greatest family experiences they'd ever had because they didn't have their phones. Now, going to a school atmosphere, parents want to be able to be connected with their kids just in case of an emergency. But there are more parents that that are okay if schools have a no cell phone policy, because the parents can call the school and more likely than not, they know where that child is at any given time to be able to get a hold of them. But principals aren't making that decision because of the 20% or so that would flip out if they couldn't instantly have access to their child. And even with the grip, talking to the owner the other day, he was asking like, Nick, do you think we take their phones at night so they can get quality sleep, that they're not, you know, waiting for that instant gratification of a text or an Instagram message coming in or a Twitter or something, because they're not getting quality sleep. Kids with glasses are a lot more prevalent now just because of the eye strain of screens. They say we're probably at a turning point now of a generation that's been now entirely raised on cell phones and tablets, that parents truly don't want that, and they're trying to navigate how to do that. But then you're in the minority if you won't let your kid have a cell phone at 6 years old or 8 years old, or wait until they're 15 and starting to drive. So as parents, I mean, Rob, you already said with your kiddo, like, too much.
But. Well, I have an 8 year old too, and there's no way she's not going to have a cell phone. I think there's like one kid in her class that has a cell phone, and it's in her backpack, and she's not allowed to take it out. At the high school my son goes to – so I have one child though. He's 22, almost 23, and he has a job, works all day long, doesn't return my text until later in the afternoon after he's off. But the 16-year-old, they did institute some new rules within the school where the kids can't have their cell phones. They have to like leave them at the front of the class before every single class.
Like check them in.
Check them in. Mm-hmm. And then they get them between classes. And so sometimes he'll respond to a text from me then. But I have noticed a significant improvement in his grades this year based on the fact that they can't have their cell phones in class, because the school structure that he goes to, he goes to a school down in Reunion, Colorado, and it's a little more open structure. Like their classes take place on like couches and sitting on the floor and kind of like an open classroom thing, which is great for him for a lot of different reasons that we don't need to get into today. Mm-hmm. But he's can't be on his cell phone the whole time. And that seems to me to be a correct observation by the person's podcast that you're listening to, is that there are ways to do it. When they're at home, when he's at home, I will make him put it up on the counter and hang out and be present for the family. I could probably use that a little bit more too, but you know,
I think we all could.
Yeah,
yeah. For us, it's learning how to manage it in our own situation, in our own family, because every family is different. I mean, if you're a rural kid, you might have a greater need for needing to be able to to get a hold of, or maybe you're a latchkey kid, as they used to say, and you're going somewhere else after school, and so. It even within our own family and our three sons, it changed. The need changed as our family grew and evolved to get a hold of each other. But I'm sure you'd both agree with me. We completely support the schools, and especially the public schools, and what they have to deal with, and whatever decision those experts are making, I'm 100% behind. It's obviously a good thing that they can't have their phone all the time. And I do miss the good old days of just call the school, talk to the manager, the office, and the get manager. A hold of the kid, have him come down to the principal's office and talk to him that way. But it so much has changed. You almost have to learn to manage it and regulate it more than to get rid of it. It's not going to go anywhere. And so it's just you got to learn how to work with it. And it's flattened the world. It's kind of like the new driver's license. Kids in my house were not as eager to go get their driver's license. Well, why? Because they could FaceTime their friends. Why would they drive to their house if they already have the ability to see someone face-to-face? So that's kind of changed the world. It's their ticket to seeing their friends. So I wouldn't want to take it away from them. We just got to learn them. Help
you just,
them,
you just brought back it. A great memory for me, Ben, of like –
Which one?
When, growing up in grade school for me, because I think I'm
latchkey
the oldest
kid?
One in this
Were you
room.
A latchkey kid?
I was, well, I, latchkey is such, I lived out, I kind of lived in Northern California where I lived. It's funny, I did have to trek uphill both ways to get to and from school because I lived on a hill, so I had to walk down the hill and then
in
up
California?
A hill.
In California?
In California, yeah, okay. Sonoma County. But I just remember, like, as a kid, hoping that the telephone in every classroom, because every classroom was equipped with a telephone, would ring. Because when that phone would ring, every kid would be like, oh, is it me that's getting pulled out of school early? What am I – did I have a dentist appointment? Do I have to be here? Or do I get to leave? It was so exciting. And that just doesn't happen anymore. Now it's like a page like, could Jonah Steinberg please come to the office?
That – yeah. It's like a good flashback to memory lane.
Yeah. Yeah, things have definitely changed. No more telephones in the classrooms there.
Boy,
teachers.
Well, stay tuned for more Nick Snacks. I'll be right back with Rob and Ben after this short break.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to Nick Snacks. Hopefully this segment doesn't get cut off because I don't really know where we are time-wise, but we're gonna do our best. Here with Rob Steinberg with Allo Fiber and Ben Barnhart, Executive Director of the Greeley Phil. We're about an hour away from our tea time, our first of the season. And what a way to spend opening day, huh?
It's going to be a great course. Day. I'm going to start stretching now.
I did some yoga. I've been doing yoga all week, trying to get back into some healthy routines. But before we get into our last topic, this is all unscripted, our last segment, we were kind of talking about, cell phones and their usage and some good memories from our school days. But I wonder if you two kind of get lost in thought about this every now and again of, in our lifetime, we have seen dramatic shifts and changes in communication. I mean, my generation started with, we saw the birth of the internet in the 90s, where it was accessible by all the homes. To, you loved getting something in the mail, to then you hated getting stuff in the mail, it was just bills and spam, and then you loved getting emails, but now we hate getting emails because, they're mostly bills and spam, and then now we like getting, physical mail again and letters and thank you cards or birthday cards. And it's just kind of fascinating at how connected we are, and I just see it as like a Richter scale measuring earthquakes of how rapidly we're coming back to things that have taken sometimes generations to like evolve to where they were, and now it's almost just changing so rapidly in our communication styles.
So when I was a kid, like you still had to manually change the channels on the TV, and then it got to the point where you could push a button on the TV like for each channel. And then – and you still had to kind of tune the channel to make sure that it came in clear. And then we got like our first cable box, which was like these bright red infrared looking like numbers on them. And if you wanted to get free Showtime, or there was like a code, like if you pushed all the buttons on the top for the channel changing at the same time, you could get free HBO, somehow scramble it.
Free Skinamax, right? Rob?
Right. Well, no, that was always blurred. But you could always – sometimes you could like see like a nipple or something like that. You know,
I don't know if Mike is going to let that slide. Well, great. Rob's
why would that be a bad word?
I don't know. He knows the rules of the FCC.
Well, I apologize, Micah, if that word
– I mean, that was a Seinfeld skit, so I think it's safe.
I mean, you know, but I mean other than that – but. And then my first video game was an actual Pong machine that had like a, paddles that you held, and you turned like a little knob to like make the basically just a square go back and forth on the screen, and you could battle somebody else on it, or you could play a single game. And they called that – when you played somebody else, they called it tennis. That was tennis mode. But otherwise it was just regular old Pong, and then the Atari 400 with the keyboard and the push-in cartridges before the Nintendo. Like I've seen some of that technology develop over the years. I was so excited in high school because I got a Nintendo 64. And then
back in 1964, right?
I think it was like 1989, maybe 1990.
You missed that joke I made on you. Huh?
I know what you said. I was just ignoring you because I was actually born in 1974. I turned 50 this year, Nick. So
happy birthday, Rob.
He is the old one in the room then.
I really am. I think your birthday is 2 days before mine, right? Yeah. You're March
22nd. And a lot of years before too.
And a lot of years, son. That's right.
Yeah. He makes me call him daddy on the golf course.
Well, that's just because I am your daddy on the. That's because I am your daddy on the golf course.
Pretty much anyone is whenever they see me golf, but not today. Oi,
it's a new season, Nick.
It is a new season.
Hope springs eternal for the Rockies and us.
Yes, I have more faith in us than I do the Rockies.
Yeah, we've already seen some. What's going to happen to the Rockies?
My goal is to break 80 this year. So that's.
Hold on, is that 80 wins for the Rockies, or is that 80 in golf?
Sure.
Perfect.
It's more likely to happen in golf.
Well, the spring is here.
This year.
We're going to get a nice zap of – well, in here, Colorado now, it just seems sunshine and warmth is associated with
high 77
winds.
Today.
Yeah, with wind chills of 40 degrees or 50 miles per hour gusts. But it's springtime, so you know, when the new year starts, people make resolutions that last typically between 20 and 40 days. But I feel like springtime really is that time to bloom and blossom and just, I don't know, declutter your lives. And Ben was a great example last week.
Whatever you say, hippie.
Invited him over to help with the grill. Next thing you know, my whole garage is being transformed and organized, which I'm going to finish up this weekend. But what about you guys? This spring, it's kind of like, I don't know, new beginnings, new times, things to kind of hone in on. What are your goals this short term and then throughout the summer? And I don't know. We'll start with Ben because Rob's talked a lot already.
What's new?
I am one of those summer people. I really get excited to make a kind of a summer plan. There's only 12 or I guess if you stretch it 13, 14 weekends a summer. And I like to take advantage of every single weekend. Concert, ball game, orchestra concert, whatever the case may be. Plenty of golf with you gentlemen all summer long. But yeah, I feel it when the weather gets warm. It's about 70. I start getting kind of antsy and itchy. And here we are today.
That could be the allergy. So.
That could be that too.
Yeah. Blame it on allergies. I mean, mine's kind of the same. I think I'm calling this like my post-COVID sort of like life actualization period where this year I have literally had a trip planned out of town every month of the year so far. And I think I have something planned every month of the year through November. So December, of course, I'll buckle up. I'll stay home. It's the holidays, et cetera. But like we're finishing up the year of traveling, going to New Jersey for Thanksgiving. So
Plymouth Rock?
No, my sister lives out there in Westfield, New Jersey, where they had an earthquake today of like 4.8 magnitude.
I saw that. Yeah, the East Coast, I mean, they're getting blasted with some crazy springtime weather. And
yeah.
I mean, you grew up in California.
I did.
So
it was always 70 degrees. Earthquakes were pretty normal. Mm-hmm. I lived through the Loma Prieta earthquake of 1989, the one that stopped the World Series from happening for a little while.
Ooh. Ben, ever lived through an earthquake?
No, I've never experienced an earthquake. Just about everything else, been through a couple of hurricanes in the last year and a half, two years. Granted, they were very moderate. They died down as they got to shore, but it was still Category 3. So that was exciting down in Florida, living through that, but never had the pleasure of an earthquake, Rob.
I had one in Indiana.
It's a trip.
All places, Indiana, yeah. There's a fault line in Ohio, and I was away at college, and it was, I think, my sophomore year. And just woke up and my bed was just shaking. And I thought it was a roommate just pulling a prank on me. And then I kind of woke up and said, no one's in my room. And sure enough, in central Indiana, north central Indiana, there was an earthquake in 2008.
Well, did you know Greeley, Colorado had its first ever recorded earthquake back in like 2014, 2015? I believe that there was a fault line that kind of got activated between two of the oil wells out east here. Mm. And it actually – I was sitting in my house and the whole house over on 16th and 16th or something like that just shook like crazy.
It's the nexus of the universe.
Yeah.
In the corner of 16th and 16th.
I guess they just – I guess
– Rob's house.
I guess wherever I go is earth-shattering.
Yes. That's anywhere you walk.
That's right.
Every time you swing a club, it's just – it's like being in the presence of Thor.
I mean, yeah.
I'm going to flatter the crap out of him so I get in his head for this golf match today. All right. Ben, thank you so much for being on the show. Rob.
Thank you, Nick.
Great to see you.
I'm just happy we didn't have to deal with Micah today.
Oh, come on. You can't say that about Micah.
I just did.
Glad because, you know, you two could have... As Broncos fans and Raiders fans, that could have been a very interesting show. But folks, thanks for tuning in. We'll have Alyssa back next week. This has been Nick's Snacks, and that's our cutoff.
Thank you, Micah.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.